Hi, I'm Talissa.
And I'm Rachel, and this is Transatlantic Crime, a true crime podcast that covers stories from each side of the pond. Every week, we will both cover a separate story with a running theme.
Disclaimer, this podcast will contain swearing and details that some people may find offensive. If you are of a sensitive disposition, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Transatlantic Crime.
So close.
Hi.
Why is your day so busy?
Oh, it's, I mean,
I thought you finished a goddamn documentary.
It's boring stuff. I have like two different maintenance guys coming to my apartment to do things. I have to like go to the post office.
Oh, the damn post office.
The damn post office. I have a Zoom meeting with work. You know, just stuff like that.
Life admin.
Life admin, yes.
Yeah. I went to the post office today and it was fucking shut and I could have burnt it down.
Why was it closed?
I was like, how?
On a Monday?
I don't know. It never closed.
There was no sign like, that said, sorry, we're closed today.
It just said closed on the door and I literally was like, motherfucker, like so loud in the car park. Like, I've told you about my eBay escapades, haven't I?
Yeah. Selling stuff on eBay.
Where I'm just like, yeah, just selling like old clothes that I would basically never wear again. I would just give to a charity shop. But people on eBay love it. I've made £100 this month off eBay.
Wow, nice.
Honestly, just if you are going to take your old crap to a charity shop, don't. Sell it on eBay.
You might sell it to a contestant on Love Island. Isn't that like a thing?
Maybe.
My friend and I are really into Love Island this year. And she told me that it was part of the rule in England for the Love Island contestants to only get stuff off eBay because it's something to do with like fast fashion or like Love Island trying to be like righteous or whatever.
They got into a lot of trouble because I think they were sponsored by a company called Misguided, who are like really famous for paying people like way under minimum wage and stuff,
right.
Even though the stuff is like made in England.
Yeah.
So they got into a lot of shit for that. So I'm not surprised that they are trying to look a bit better. But like eBay stuff, like it's actually, some of it isn't that cheap. I look for like monkey stuff on there, which is like stuff I like. And it's basically the price that you would pay in the shop.
Right.
It's like the same price. And I'm like, dude, as soon as it leaves the shop, it loses half its value.
Yeah.
Like, I'm selling stuff on there for, like, £2. Yeah, but people are like, ooh, monkey top, £25. And I'm like, dude, you get in the shop for that.
Yeah.
Behave.
Well, how was your holiday? Tell me all about it.
Oh, my God. It was so relaxing. I napped every day for an hour.
Amazing.
I had a nap every afternoon. And then today it got to, like, nap time. And I was like, can't. Got work. I was like, fuck, this is like such a like horrible smash back into reality.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
It's fucking awful. And I also like made friends with a stray cat called Colin.
Colin?
I called him Colin, yeah.
Aww.
I thought it was a girl and then Carly was like, that cat's got huge bollocks. And I was like, all right. Came up to us and like, because obviously it's a stray, they're quite meek, and then it looked at me as if it wanted to jump on my lap, and I was like, pulled the chair out, I was like, jump on the chair, and then it climbed onto my lap and sat on me for like 20
Aww.
minutes, and I just felt so chosen.
Oh,
it was lovely.
That's nice when an animal chooses you.
And Carly was like, that cat is fucking disgusting. And I was like,
I was just thinking
not
that.
I was like, it's not the best cat, I'll give you that. It had like a few bald patches and like stuff, but I don't really usually get on with cats, so it was quite like a seminal moment for me.
Well, I'm sure there's some listeners that are cat owners, but this is what I've talked about with my friends who are cat owners, because I always talk about like how hard it is to give my dog a bath because he hates water. And apparently cats are self-cleaning. They don't need baths. So that cat was probably cleaner than your own dog, Carly.
Yeah, Arlo fucking stinks. Yeah, like, and it was cleaning itself, but I was like, it does look like you're making beds on the Titanic, like, yeah, cleaning yourself like that. Poor little bastard.
Aww. Well, I'm glad that you had a nice time on your holiday and made a little friend. Anything else that you want to report about your holiday?
I gave Colin bacon on the last day. I snuck him some bacon after breakfast because as a goodbye present. What else? Oh, also on holiday, we went to this like spa, and it's like, yeah, but it wasn't, it wasn't like an English or an American spa. It was a natural hot springs.
Okay.
So we were in like 39 degree water, which is just above body temperature, and it comes from the center of the earth. It's old, and you like, oh my god, it was just magical, and it was like an infinity pool. I felt like a Kardashian.
Aww.
It was fucking amazing.
The pictures looked amazing. Yeah, that pool. Yeah, especially. I would definitely go there.
Carly dropped her entire phone in the water.
Oh no.
And it was fine. She just picked it out and dried it off, and it was just fine. I was like, wow, iPhones have really stepped up their game.
Yeah, they have. That's really cool, though. And also, you said 39 degrees Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
That is in Celsius. Yeah. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
I think it's like
basically just above body temperature. What's body temperature?
70s. I don't know what our normal body temperature is.
No. It felt like perfect bath temperature, basically. Mm. Like the most perfect bath you've ever been in. It was like that. And you know how like swimming pool water is like chlorine, and seawater is salty?
Yeah.
This was just like spring water.
Wow.
So like it didn't taste of anything. Like, yeah, if it went in your mouth or and stuff like that. Oh yeah, it was amazing. And it was €5 to get in.
What?
Which is like £4.
Was it just packed? Was something that cheap? Wow.
It was deserted. Mate, the whole island was deserted. Like, wow. I think, and because it was Greece, like, they had that really bad recession.
Yeah.
And I think their tourism has really suffered because of COVID and stuff. So, yeah, there was just nobody anywhere.
Wow.
So, if you want to go anywhere right now, go to Greece, support their tourist system, and also be somewhere where there's fucking no other annoying people.
Yeah,
because it's great.
Yeah,
it's so great.
I would love to. That really does sound amazing. Let's go. Let's do a podcast episode there.
Fuck yeah, I'll go like tomorrow. So what have we got true crime wise? Not the actual episode, like,
yeah,
our watching, listening, reading.
Well, it's been 2 weeks since we've talked, and
I know, right?
I feel like I've filled my cup of true crime, but I honestly can't remember what right now.
We just ingest it at an inhuman speed.
Truly, yes.
Have you watched The Girl in the Picture? Or
no,
The Girl in the Photograph?
I haven't watched that yet. No, have you?
Yes, that's crackers.
Okay.
That is like in plain sight. It's as crackers as that.
Okay.
Twist, who the fuck are you? Why the fuck did that happen?
Was
like,
it a...
really mad.
Was it a story that you already knew?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying not to give it away, but like, guy turns up and he's got a girl with him who he says is his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out who she is. And like, that has happened in a few true crime stories, I think.
Where she's like she brings... Because I've seen the ad for it. I've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a few famous true crime stories, like the bodies in the barrels.
Yep.
Somebody says that they're their daughter, but they're not.
Right.
That gives it away a little bit, but yeah, basically it's a complete mystery who she is, and you need to find out. So that's really good. While I was on holiday, I was listening to the BTK book by John Douglas again.
Oh, nice. Again?
It's so... second time listen, because it's so good. Would highly recommend. Podcast recommendation, there's a podcast out called Call Bethel.
Okay.
And it is about the Jehovah's Witnesses and how they basically have a list of pedophiles, because they don't want you, they don't want anybody to report anything to the police. Right. They want to deal with it inside the church.
Right.
Very much like the Catholic Church. Like, mm-hmm. they say, yeah, come to us, tell us what the, yeah, most religious organizations, yeah. they're like, don't, yeah, just tell us what's happened and we'll deal with it.
Right.
Like, we'll punish that person or we'll send them away or whatever. And so there's actually like a list of paedophiles that the Jehovah's Witnesses have that they refuse to give to the police.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a woman who's like trying to find this list.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
Interesting.
So that's great. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, like, they aren't just in England, they're everywhere.
Yeah,
they're in Australia, America,
yeah,
England. So this is like a worldwide problem.
Did the Jehovah's Witness in England, do they go door to door like they do here?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's like a rule or something. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, don't you have to do that?
Yeah, like evangelical religion.
Right.
But I think, isn't that one of the, like, I could be wrong and, like, correct me if I am, but isn't Jehovah's Witnesses one of those religions where at the end of the world, there'll only be a certain amount of people allowed?
Yeah. I believe so.
Or is that the Mormons?
No, that's, Jehovah's Witnesses is right as well.
So if anything, you would think, don't invite more people. We've only got a limited space at the table. Wouldn't you?
There's no room here.
I'm like, I'm not pushing, I don't want my space taken up by, like, Kathy from down the road.
Yeah, I don't know. That's true, actually.
And it's something ridiculous as well, like 2,800. It's not even, like, a big number.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
But I could be talking absolute shit.
Well, if anyone's listening that is a Jehovah's Witness, then tell us.
They will not be listening to this if they're a Jehovah's Witness. If they're an ex-Jehovah's Witness, yeah, they might.
You know who was raised as a Jehovah's Witness?
No.
This is always think of that actor and rapper.
Rapper? That's not very Jehovah's Witnessy.
I know, right? Childish Gambino, Donald Glover.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he kind of talks
about...
Good
thing he got out of that because...
Right, I know.
He's got a fucking great life now.
I know. He talks about how, like, he wasn't supposed to celebrate birthdays or Christmas or anything like that when he was a kid.
Which is horrible because kids at school, like, invite each other to birthday parties, yeah, and stuff.
Yeah.
And at Christmas, you all make Christmas cards.
Mm.
And... at Thanksgiving, you all make, like, and Halloween, like, at school, they're obviously scratching about for things for you to do so that you don't fucking wreck the joint.
Right.
So they're like, shit, what can we make? Like, Easter card. Just make a fucking Easter card.
Yeah.
Like,
what is it? Labor Day? Let's make a Labor Day card.
Whatever to stop you drawing on the walls and pinching each other. I don't care what it is.
Yeah,
they have to, like,
be,
have a theme.
You want to be included when you're a kid.
Yeah, it must be hard.
And it's... I feel like it's important to, like, celebrate things, too, to, like, learn to celebrate. Not everything's doom and gloom.
I have stuff to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Not just, like, the end of days when all your friends are going to die.
Right.
And everyone you know and love is going to die. And it's just going to be, like, you and your mum and dad and, like, Uncle Peter. It's got to be, like, what a bum out.
Yeah.
Although I will say, speaking of bum outs, I got... really into having an afternoon nap, but to have my nap in Greece, I would go up to the room because it's obviously air conditioned,
mm-hmm.
and I would lay there and I would watch a death row documentary.
Mm.
There is fucking nothing I don't know about American death row right now.
How do you feel about it? Do you have any opinions?
I have an opinion that I never want to be put on death row for the gas chamber.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
fucking awful.
Yeah,
this guy was telling a story. Like, there were two stories. Like, one of them was a guy was on death row because he just randomly killed two teenagers just because he wanted their car.
Okay.
Because obviously to be eligible for the death penalty, you have to commit a crime in the commission of another crime.
Okay.
So, like,
right,
rape and robbery or murder and rape or whatever.
Yeah.
So he robbed their car and then killed them. But he... everyone was like sat down to watch him die, basically.
Mm.
And then he was strapped down and I think it was like one, he was supposed to be executed at midnight, and then it was like 1 minute past midnight and nothing was happening.
Mm.
And everyone was just like started to look at each other and be like, is something supposed to be happening right now?
Yeah.
And the phone rang and he got a fucking stay of execution, like strapped in the chair.
No. I mean,
yeah,
fine, but
down to the wire.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then, so the family of like the murdered boys were basically like, shit, we've come all this way. Mm-hmm. Like we were prepared to watch you die and now it's not going to happen. So they basically went back to like their hotel room or whatever. And then this was like midnight. And then at 6 a.m, they got a call to say, no, it's definitely going to happen now.
What? What changed in 6 hours and the many probably years that led up to that? That's so funny.
Right?
The emotional turmoil you would be going through and your body would be going through. Oh my. Everyone involved.
And his.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Right.
The guards. Oh God. Then he eventually did die, but it takes like 20 minutes.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, like, I mean, we do have an episode where we talk about the death penalty, and I think I talk about the different methods of death penalty practices in America. So I think the gas chamber was included in that, and that is one of the worst ones.
Also, like, Carly was going, why did he choose the gas chamber? I don't know if there was no other option.
Yeah.
Because I think it was San Quentin. But it might have just been at a time when there wasn't any chemicals available or whatever for the lethal injection. But fuck me, it's the worst way.
Right.
By a long chalk. And then there was another one for this guy. They didn't put a mask over his face. But for then the next guy, they said they put a leather mask over his face that had a hole for his nose. But his eyes were showing, but only like pinpricks in the mouth.
What?
Yeah, it was really weird because obviously they don't execute people very often.
Right.
So
they just didn't have much lying around.
Yeah, they're just not in like the practice of doing it. So someone was like, you're going to have to put a mask on him because, I don't know, he might be sick or it might be gross or I don't know. So they put this fucking mask on him and apparently he was just screaming the whole time, I'm human.
Wow.
Before they killed him. And I was just like, what? Just what a hideous affair for everyone involved.
For whatever they do, it's usually like, well, you committed a heinous crime. But at the same time, it's like with the death penalty, when it actually happens, there's so much time beforehand for everyone to prepare. So for someone to be like, oh, we never do this, so we don't know what we're doing. It's like,
I know.
You have so much time to actually like get a proper mask or make sure the gas chamber's working, or there's
make
so
it
much
soundproof
time.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, it worries me that it's not soundproof, but it is airproof. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I was watching the most depressing fucking documentaries on earth like last week. I just got down a hole. You know, when you just get down a hole.
Yeah.
And you just can't stop yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Well, speaking of holes that I went down for this episode.
Good link.
Good segue. I did go down a lot of holes because our theme this week is weird laws and the stories behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many weird laws in America.
Yeah, I bet, you weirdos.
And it was really, there were so many interesting ones that it was like, what the hell is the story behind that? I'm going to give you some examples.
Okay.
One of them that just stuck out to me was in Florida. There's a lot, obviously, weird laws
Florida.
It's
got to pop up.
Can't have sex with a porcupine.
Particularly anything else.
Specifically a porcupine.
I mean, I wouldn't anyway.
Who would? That's what you think. Why is there a law? Why is there a
Just
law?
Just to save you from yourself.
Yeah. Another one is in Minnesota, women impersonating Santa Claus can face up to 30 days in prison. Why? What happened there?
Yeah, I mean, robbed a bank. that's all I can think.
Yeah, you committed fraud maybe as Santa Claus and you're a woman?
What's your fucking deal?
A whole bunch of other ones, like, you can't... This one made me laugh.
What?
It's illegal in New York to throw a ball at someone's head for fun.
You have to prove it's for fun, though.
Exactly. Like,
basically, right, I'm a lawyer. I'm your lawyer. I'm defending you. Yeah. You saw a bee. There was a bee on their head. You had to get the bee off. Done. Defended.
And you can't be smiling. No smiling when you throw a ball at someone's head.
What kind of ball? Any ball?
No specifications.
That's like a senator or somebody who got made a fool of by, like, somebody just lobbed a tennis ball at their head. They're like, right, that's it.
Yeah, so there's so many laws like that where these are stated, these are in, not in the Bible, these are like in the...
I'm not surprised because you guys at the moment seem to think the Bible is the fucking law, so chill out. Oh man,
don't get me started. Anyways, these are like written in the state, like, books as laws.
Yeah.
Where the hell did they come from? I really wanted to find something good for you guys, and it was very hard to find the origin of these really crazy laws. So I kind of had to go down a different hole, and yeah, I found something that is not as exciting, but it's kind of obvious. So...
Okay. I'm so immature that somebody chucking a ball at someone's head for fun is good enough for me. Like, bye, end of the podcast.
Yeah, that's kind of how I thought. I was like, maybe I should just read the weirdest laws in each state because some of them are hilarious.
Oh, God.
There was one that kept popping up. And also, I should mention, I was at work and I was like, hey, guys, I'm trying to think of a new theme for this week's podcast. What do you have? And this was one of my coworkers' suggestions, like, why don't you do weird mm-hmm. laws? And the one that he mentioned was, you can't put an ice cream cone in your back pocket in Louisiana or Alabama or something like that.
Well, that's just good hygiene. So,
but
that's just common sense.
The reason behind that, we looked it up at work, was because back in the 1800s or whatever, when everyone had horses, people would put ice cream cones in their back pocket because it would lure the horse away, and the thief, the horse thief, could say, like, oh, this horse just followed me. I didn't steal it.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that's still a law today. It's like, well, nobody's doing
silly,
that anymore.
Silly, greedy horses.
Yeah.
Horses fucking love ice cream.
I guess
in
so.
In that case.
Yeah, they just, can you just imagine, like, some man, like, with ice cream in his back pocket, just, like, shaking his butt in front of a horse,
Louisiana,
like, follow me.
So hot. Your ass would be the stickiest thing.
Yeah, the South gets pretty hot, so I don't know how long that would last you. You'd probably just get two horses, maybe. Maybe one.
You'd get a fucking shitload of wasps.
Yeah. But that was a suggestion from someone at work, and great suggestion. I'm really excited to hear what yours is next week.
Mine isn't funny.
Oh. Well, I mean, neither is mine, really, since I had to find, like, an actual story.
Okay, I'll try and find some funny ones to, like, buffer the actual story.
Okay.
I mean, it's not funny. It's, like, a shock, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, my one is. But okay. Yeah.
All right. So mine is, I don't know if I should say the law first and then get into it or if I should wait till the end, because I think it's kind of obvious what the law is once you hear the story.
Do the story first, I think.
Okay. Well, it's going to give it away right now.
Right. Go on.
So dueling in the U.S. was mostly known to happen in the Wild West, and also especially in the early formation of the country for politicians, especially, who were challenged frequently for their political views. I guess people were challenged to duels because they would, like, politicians would be, like, talking shit about another politician, and the other politician would be like, this isn't cool, I'm challenging you to a duel. So it was just something that happened.
That's
a lot.
That's like death. That's like life or death.
Yeah.
It's and pretty serious.
Back then it was like, this is the gentleman's way of settling an argument. So,
oh, fuck being a man. Yeah. There's so much pride involved.
Especially back like, then. Like, even in the early days of the country with, like, George Washington, who was our first president, apparently he was against dueling because he was like, we're losing good men. Like, stop challenging each other to duels. We have to fight a war. And if you
There's
guys...
There's really no need to die over it.
Right, exactly. So obviously it started out with swords, and then when guns came along, then people used guns. But Abraham Lincoln had even had to avert a duel and apologize to an Illinois state official he had insulted in a local newspaper. So he was challenged
to
a duel.
That's wise.
Yeah.
That seems like a pussy move, but it's not. It's wise.
Right. Yeah.
He would never have been the president. He's a good president, right?
He was nice. Yeah, he talked about abolishing slavery, but then he was assassinated, so...
Shame.
So it was a practice up until around the Civil War, when people really started to be like, hey, this is basically murder.
Yeah.
So this story takes place around that time, like right before the Civil War, or a little bit during. And we're going to talk about David Cobreath Broderick. He was born February 4th, 1820. He was the son of Irish immigrants who moved to Washington, D.C. before David was born, and his father helped build the state capitol because he was a stonemason.
Wow.
Yeah, when Broderick was 3 years old, his parents moved to New York City, where he grew up, and he attended public school, and he apprenticed as a stonecutter like his dad. Broderick was interested and active in politics from a young age. He read constantly and immersed himself in the superheated political culture of New York City's politics. I think we definitely had an episode where I did how dirty the politics were back then, especially in New York. Like, it was just a bunch of older white men who argued each other and made up their own rules.
Yeah, wasn't that that guy, that president that got, like, shot and then he died really slowly?
Yeah, you're right.
Something to do with that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
A disgusting death. Go listen to that episode if you want to hear more about that. Eventually, Broderick, he worked in a saloon, and he owned the saloon where many of the politicians would drink and debate. And also, so I'm talking about this guy, and in a lot of the articles, they put him in a pretty good light because of what he eventually became a politician and for something that he fought for. But I don't think he was a very great guy. This is just my opinion. And
he's just a guy.
Well, yeah. To me, he sounds like a dirty politician who's just in it for, like, making money. But he was a very good speaker. And the thing that's coming up was what he spoke against. Also, I should mention that I wrote this when I was sick last week. So if it makes no sense at all, or if it's like, it goes...
then fuck you.
Yeah, I apologize. Hopefully you guys follow along. If you have any questions to Lissa, let me know.
Oh, okay, okay, that's fine.
So yeah, he got super into politics in New York, and he attempted to run as the Democratic candidate for the U.S. representative from New York's 5th congressional district, but he lost the election. In 1849, when he was 29 years old, he joined the gold rush to California. He settled in San Francisco, where he quickly made a fortune in real estate and selling gold coins. And this is where I think, this is where I think he was maybe a little sketchy. So he minted gold coins that contained less gold than their face value. and he would keep the difference. So
didn't like, you fuck her?
Yeah, he minted like $10 coins, but there was only $8 worth of gold in the coin.
Oh, that's dirty.
It is a little dirty. He used the profits to finance his political aspirations. Okay, so he was soon elected a member of the California State Senate, and he was the acting lieutenant governor between 1850 and 1852, where, again, he was a little sketchy. According to his biographer, when he was trying to hire someone or, like, getting someone in office, like the new, like, sheriff in town, he would say to them, "Keep half of the money and give me the other half, which I require to keep up our organization in the state." And then he would say, like, if you don't do this, and without, like, men like you on my side coming in and making us keep half the money, then we won't win, like, our positions. We won't keep them. And our opponents will conquer unless I have money enough to pay the men whom I may find necessary. So he was kind of creating, like, a little mob aspect and keeping his
men. Plus, it's like, if you're willing to take half the money, you can have the job.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than the best man for the job.
Yeah. That made him popular with the other men. So he kept getting nominated for things, and it just kept him in office for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he became even more rich by placing this system in San Francisco. This is why, like, a lot of the historic stuff I was reading was like, oh, he was a great man. But I kept reading stuff like this, and I was like, well, clearly he was a dirty politician. But then I thought, like, was everyone at that time?
Meh. I mean, like, he's still a bloke. He's still, like, a white guy in the 1800s. He's going to be a bit cunty.
That's what I mean. Like, was he just trying to, like, beat the system and do good things with all of his dirty money?
He seems like a cheat. He's cheating his way into how he wants stuff to be.
But if everyone was cheating the system, then he was being smart, I guess, and cheating it as well in his own way,
I suppose. I'm reading this book at the moment, and it's called A Time Traveler's Guide to Medieval England.
I like that.
It's so good.
Is it?
It, like, basically tells you, like, what you would wear, like, how much stuff costs.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. So people brew ale, mm-hmm. and there's a pub in Andover, like my hometown, called The Angel.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, the woman who was the landlady of that pub, like, in the fucking 1400s or something, she got fined because she was selling beer for, like, 2 shillings when it should have been 1.5.
Oh.
The price of ale and the price of bread was really controlled.
Yeah.
If somebody tried to screw you over, you could, like, go to the town, like, mayor, or go to the guild hall or whatever and say, like, this person has screwed me over. She just got fined.
Yeah.
But other people got put in the stocks, and they got all their shitty wine poured over them. Or they got all their shitty ale poured over them, like, just to humiliate them in front of the whole town.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious.
That's some medieval shit, right?
It really is. You couldn't have that wouldn't happen these days.
No, the punishment fit the crime.
Yeah. You know what that made me think of? Like, we were just talking about, like, fast fashion.
Yeah.
I wonder if all the people, like, if something like that were to happen now, like, all the companies that sell, like, fast fashion have to wear their own clothes, all of them, at the same time.
The absolute shit they sell on Boohoo sometimes as well. Like, a fucking, like, basically a piece of string that's a dress.
Exactly.
Like, the CEO in a little glittery piece of string in the stocks.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's bring it back.
Yeah, let's bring it back. Let's bring back these medieval practices. All right, so at the same time in the U.S., there was a big divide between people who wanted to keep slavery and those that didn't. This was right before the Civil War. So California, which had only just become a state a few years before, was in the middle of that debate because in the U.S. at that time, it's so stupid to say now, but obviously there were new states that were forming, and... Mm-hmm. They wanted to have an even amount of states that kept slaves and that didn't keep slaves.
Hey.
Yeah. Because California was a new state, they were like, should we be one of those states or should we not be? I just found that nuts that they were like, oh, let's keep this fair.
Yeah, like it's such a fucking arbitrary decision. Like,
right.
What side do we fall on? Obviously the side of right.
Yeah.
Not the side of, are we fucking up the 50-50 system?
Right. Oh, let's keep this even. So silly.
But it just goes to show like how little value slaves' lives had. Yeah, it's not even about them.
Right, exactly. It's not about people. It's mainly about money. Like,
yeah, I guess, yeah.
California had only become a state a few years before, was in the middle of that debate on whether they should join the Confederates or remain part of the anti-slavery union. This included the Democratic Party, which began to split off as they had opposing views as well. So the Democratic Party at the time were pro-slavery. And then there were men who were like, no, we're not. We want to stay Democrats because we believe in all the other stuff, but we don't believe in slavery. Yeah. So they began to split off on their opposing views. And Broderick, he was one of the leaders of the Free Soilers in California, which was a coalition party that opposed the expansion of slavery into the Western territories of the U.S. Their party banner read, free soil, free speech, free labor, and free men. This is why he's considered a lot in like the history books or whatever to be a good man, because he was one of the leaders of the party that was like
anti-slavery.
Yeah, exactly. And he was a really good, he was good at speeches. So his speeches were very like passionate, really impacted a lot of people. But again, like, was he doing this because, well, let me just read it. Although the Free Soil Party did oppose slavery, Broderick was possibly not fighting for slaves out of the goodness of his own heart. He wasn't, like, trying to be righteous, although he was sounding like he was. He did it mainly for monetary gain. As Broderick worked in real estate, he worked closely with another political friend called Leonidas Haskell, who was a real estate developer of San Francisco's, where a lot of the free slaves went and lived in San Francisco. So obviously it was bringing in money because they were buying houses, or they were, you know, they were just living in that area. And because Broderick was kind of part of that, then he was getting some of that money.
Yeah, he has a vested interest in freeing slaves. So they come and live in somewhere that he gets some money from.
Exactly. So during this time in 1859, San Francisco and the surrounding areas in California were becoming more heated, with residents and politicians being openly hostile towards each other over slavery. There were people on both sides just very passionate about it. Leading up to these times, Broderick was friends with another politician called David S. Terry, who was also a part of the Democratic Party. David S. Terry was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of California, and he was an advocate of extending slavery into the state. He wanted to keep slavery. He was known to be a... yeah. He was known to be a hothead, having previously stabbed a political opponent in 1856... with a bow knife that he routinely carried in a sheath under his coat. So he just carried a bow knife around. Yeah.
Hothead is like Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the fucking Oscars. Not like...
Well, this guy slaps people too.
Stabbing someone.
He did it all.
Slapping is the least of his worries.
So when Broderick joined the Free Soilers and began speaking against slavery, the two friends were no longer friends, because Terry was like, he was kind of calling him out, like, you're only doing this because you're a dirty politician and you want money. You're not doing it because you want to free slaves. But at the same time, like, Terry wanted to keep slaves and he was very adamant about it.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. It all came to a head when Terry was up for Democratic nomination for the Supreme Court, believing that his friendship with Broderick would get him more votes. He was angry when he lost to another man named Warner Culp, who was nominated over Terry. Terry blamed Broderick for having engineered his loss, stating that his anti-slavery campaigning was the reason for his loss, because Broderick did this really passionate speech about freeing slaves, and he and Terry, David S. Terry, was like, that speech really fucked up my chances for getting a nomination since I want to keep slaves. So he blamed him.
He seems like less of a speechwriter and more of a stabber.
Yeah. So. More of an action man than a talking
yeah,
man.
Yeah, than a chat.
Terry insulted Broderick in his own speech to the Democratic Party, and he said that he had abandoned the Democratic Party leader Stephen Douglas in favor of, in quotes, Black Republican leader Frederick Douglas. Frederick Douglas is a famous ex-slave that was part of the Free Soilers, and he traveled all around.
Good for him.
Yeah, and spoke against slavery, obviously. So yeah. Terry was like, oh, you're following these Black slaves and that's wrong. That insulted Broderick. So Broderick angrily responded that Terry was a dishonest judge and a miserable wretch. He said something along the lines of, I have spoken of him as an honest man because they were friends before, but now I find that I was mistaken. I take it all back. He is just as bad as the others. They both publicly insulted each other. Things got more heated. Terry heard about him talking shit about him. And so he challenged Broderick to a duel.
Oh, no. He's stabby, too. So
he is.
He's feisty.
Well, they didn't use
swords.
Can't
talk your way out of this one.
They didn't use swords. So obviously Broderick took him up on the duel. And was like, all right, let's do it, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've really pissed me off.
Again, this is like, as I was reading this, it's so immature. Like, oh, you insulted
it's
so
childish.
I insulted you. Let's fight about it. Let's meet on the school grounds and punch each other.
It's like in The Sopranos when, like, Anthony Jr., that guy goes, oh, I'll meet you at the baseball field at, like, six. And we'll fight there in front of everybody, and that'll prove who's right.
I know. It's so silly. The two men met early in the morning of September 13th, 1859, just south of San Francisco in a rural area called Lake Merced. They were surrounded by a small crowd of supporters from either side. Terry,
amazing,
had chosen the pistols and had been practicing with them ahead of the duel. So this is where...
Oh, is that allowed? Like, what are the rules?
I guess
it's kind of lawless.
They flipped a coin. They flipped two different coins. So one coin was like... I can't remember what one of the decisions was, but he won the coin toss where they could choose, like, what weapon they used or which gun they used or whatever.
What year is this?
1859.
Fucking hell.
Right. All down to a
it's
coin
a bit
toss.
Basic, isn't it?
It really is. It's like sport. We still use coin toss.
Because he called
sport.
Him an arsehole.
Yeah. Had to defend his honor.
Fine.
So Terry had chosen the pistols and had been practicing with them ahead of the duel. Broderick had not used them before. He hadn't used this type of gun before.
Oh, Broderick.
So, yeah, they stood 10 paces apart from each other and preparing to shoot. They turned.
Squeaky bum time.
Mm-hmm. Broderick's pistol discharged prematurely and the bullet hit the ground several feet away from Terry. So in a duel,
oh my God.
If that happens.
You'd shit yourself.
Yeah, in a duel, if that happens, you've taken your shot. That's it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you have to stand there and wait to see what happens.
Get shot!
Pretty much. Broderick looked up after he accidentally shot. You would shit your pants. You would.
I am fucked.
Rather than like cowering or, you know, this is one of the many accounts, he stood squarely facing his opponent. So he was like, all right, I'm taking this. I'm not backing down.
Oh my Lord.
Terry coolly aimed and fired into Broderick's chest, hitting him in the lungs. He fell to the ground, but he was still alive. A supporter of Broderick's charged at Terry with his own gun, and David S. Terry was like, it's only a flesh wound. It's fine. So
what? He got shot too?
No, Terry didn't get shot. He shot Broderick in squarely in the chest and clearly hit his mark. They were both good marksmen. And they also, there's like a rumor that said like, oh, Terry chose this gun because he knew that Broderick didn't know how to use it, or it might have been like a dirty gun that was, because it discharged early, that it was something was wrong with it. So,
God.
Yeah. Broderick was brought to his friend Leonidas Haskell's home, where doctors worked on him for 3 days, but unfortunately, he passed away third day. Yeah.
That is one of the most pointless fucking deaths I've ever heard in all of our stories.
It is. Also, the pain.
No fucking rhyme or reason for that.
The pain of those 3 days of being shot in the lung. How angry I'd be so angry. I'd be like, I just went through this for no reason.
I wouldn't have fucking done it in the first place. I would have done a Lincoln and be like, saws.
Well, we are women in 2022. Maybe we would have had different ideas back then. Like, oh, this man's a hero.
Maybe. But I mean, to be fair, if someone really fucked me, like if someone really, really pissed me off these days and went, right, flip a coin, I get to punch you in the face and then you get to punch me in the face, I'd be like, let's go.
But not death. Like, you wouldn't do it to the death.
Yeah, death's a bit much.
Yeah.
Depends what he did, but death's a bit much.
Yeah. So Broderick's last words were reportedly, they killed me because I am opposed to the extension of slavery and a corrupt administration. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if they were trying to make him out to be this hero. But 39-year-old Broderick was lauded as a hero and a martyr in the fight against slavery. His funeral became one of the most prominent demonstrations of public support that the city of San Francisco had ever seen.
Okay, I guess something good came of it.
Yeah.
But what a waste of his life, like 39.
Right. That's people our age. Can you imagine someone our age being in a duel, fighting against something very political and being in a duel? I can't at all.
They organized it themselves. They organized a time, a place, a gun, a coin to flip, a little crowd.
Yep. People went and watched.
It's insane.
Yeah. Some considered Terry's action in the duel as murder, and he was subsequently arrested in his home a few days later. Detective H.H. Ellis said of Terry's arrest, he said, okay, so this was his exact quote. When we arrived within about 100 feet of the house, a window was thrown open and three men and Terry leveled shotguns at us and told us to halt.
Oh, fuck off, Terry.
We did so, and we announced that we were officers with a warrant for Terry. Eventually, Terry agreed to turn himself in for trial, where he was acquitted of the crime, and he went on to serve in the Confederacy. So he left California, and he served in the Confederacy during the Civil War. In 1889, Terry, 30 years after this incident, he was still the same old self over that time. He threatened the life of another politician, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Field, while having breakfast on a train. Terry had slapped the judge in the face, and the judge's bodyguard thought that Terry was reaching for his bow knife that he carried around everywhere. And so he shot Terry point blank right then and there outside the train, and Terry died. So he died doing what he loved. Starting shit.
Being a dick.
Yeah. And there's a crazy story of what led up to that, too, because David Terry married this sketchy woman who forged...
Sketchy woman.
She forged documents, and she was married to, like, a, a millionaire before that, and the millionaire, this old man, died, and she all of a sudden produced papers that were like, oh, here's his will, and it says that I get all of his money, and David Terry defended her, and then they secretly married each other, and so that judge that he slapped was someone who was like trying to stop them from like getting money from that will. So
Anna Nicole Smith.
Read more about David Terry, because he just sounds like this cracked old man that married a 30-year-old woman that and they were both like fighting for their own money, and she got pregnant, and she also insulted everyone in the court and tried to like threaten them with a gun, and he was there and he tried to fight with his sword and defend her honor. So yeah, that's a little side note, but anyways, he got shot because the bodyguard thought he was reaching for his bow knife. The events of Broderick's death helped consolidate opinion in California's favor of abolition of slavery, and it was seen as one of the many events that contributed to the spiral towards the Civil War. David Broderick became the only sitting senator to die in a duel. California later passed laws against dueling, which enhanced punishment if the duel resulted in death, including Penal Code Section 227. Every person who fights a duel or who sends or accepts a challenge to fight a duel is punishable by imprisonment of the state prison or in the county jail, not exceeding 1 year.
That is just protecting you from yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, wear a motorbike helmet or you go into prison.
Right.
Like, that's just good sense.
Don't start shit. Don't say you're going to be in a duel, and don't challenge someone to a duel.
One of my favorite sayings is like, play silly games, win silly prizes.
Yeah, that's very appropriate for this story. On June 1st, 1932, the site of the duel was registered as California Registered Historical Landmark. And in 1949, Marker 19 was erected at the beginning of the trail that leads to the site. So you could go visit that today. It's just outside of San Francisco. At the site,
we could go visit that.
We could. At the site itself, two granite obelisks, each one engraved with the name of both men. So one side has Terry, one side has Broderick. It marks,
Terry doesn't deserve an obelisk.
Yeah. It marks the places where they stood 10 yards apart and shot at each other.
Yeah. I guess it's quite a good tourist trap. You'll probably buy a mini obelisk, depending whose side you're on.
You probably can. It's not like... It's just kind of in a clearing, these two stones, like outside of someone's house somewhere in California. And there's this man on YouTube who went and like made a video of the whole story. And hold on, let me find out what his name was.
I love YouTube.
I know. actually,
free for all.
This guy made this video like only a few weeks ago. And it's a channel called Something or Other Tour. And it's just this kind of bro-y guy that goes around to like football stadiums and historical sites and tells the stories of them and shoots it all with like a drone, and it's just him. But anyways,
that
he
sounds
went
okay.
it does, but he's just kind of bro-y. This one was interesting, but he goes there and he's like, it's interesting how on this side where Broderick's little stone thing is, it's like all green and nice, and he shows it. And then on the side of Terry, it's all like dried up and not very nice.
Mother Earth knows that you an evil fuck.
Yeah. So yeah, that is the story of how dueling got banned in the state of California.
That was brilliant.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rach. I love learning about history.
Yeah, a little more history than crime this week, but interesting.
Somebody still got murdered, so...
Yeah.
Well, two people got murdered.
And possibly
that woman's old millionaire husband. She probably murdered him, so possibly three.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I didn't think about that. I should get more into her story. It's...
She totally knocked him off.
Yeah. Apparently she, after Terry was murdered or shot by the bodyguard, she just went nuts, and then she would wander around just mumbling to herself, and then she was put in an insane asylum for like the last 30 years of her life. So that's what happened to her.
God.
Yeah.
So she didn't get any money anyway.
she didn't get much out of the end of that. No.
Fuck. That ended badly for her.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I guess the point is, if you're for slavery, then you're a cunt. I haven't got to say cunt this whole episode, so there we go. Just slip that in.
Yeah, exactly. Glad that there's no more slavery, although you did mention the prison system. That is a little form of slavery there, but we won't get into that this week.
Oh, defo. Yeah, maybe we can talk about that next week, because I have been watching so many fucking prison, USA prison documentaries, like Death Row, like San Quentin. Like, I just got down a really deep hole. So
yeah,
maybe we'll bring that up next week. My story is also pretty historical, so there'll be more history.
Amazing. I can't wait. And speaking of documentaries, I was going to mention that the documentary that I worked on finally came out on the week that we kind of took off last week. And if any of our listeners watched it, then let us know what you think of it. I would love to hear any kind of reviews.
Yes, I'm going to watch that, I promise you. And then next week, I will speak to you about it.
Okay, awesome.
All right, then. Speak to you soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Transatlantic Crime this week. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at TransatCrimePod, Instagram at Transatlantic Crime, and on Facebook with Transatlantic Crime Podcast.
Thanks, bye.